Don't know how many of you watched the royal wedding a couple months ago, a couple of you. To conclude his sermon at the wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, Anglicans in the United States and other countries, Bishop Michael Curry, read a famous quote from the Jesuit priest Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. And the quote was this: "Someday, after mastering the winds, the waves, the tides, and gravity, we shall harness for God the energies of love, and then, for a second time in the history of the world, humankind will have discovered fire." Teilhard de Chardin is one of the more controversial figures of the Roman Catholic Church. For most of his ministry, he was prohibited by the Curia for teaching, since his views were at odds with the official doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church. Teilhard was born in 1881 in France and died in 1955 in New York City. He was both a theologian and a scientist. As a scientist, he was a paleontologist. His writing sought to bridge the divide between those two worlds, as he not only championed the idea of evolution, which wasn't all that popular in the 1930s and 40s, particularly in Christian circles, but he also saw the universe itself as an expression of divine life. I think it was in the late 1940s that Time magazine published a photograph of Father Pierre. Underneath it said, "This is the Jesuit priest who believes human beings come from monkeys." Once, while on a scientific research trip in China, as the story goes, there's many great stories about Father Pierre, he found himself in a wilderness without bread or wine or altar to celebrate the Mass. He wrote, "I will raise myself beyond these symbols, up to the pure majesty of the real itself. I, your priest, will make the whole earth my altar, and on it will offer you all the labors and sufferings of the world." His prayer went on, "Over every living thing which is to spring up, to grow, to flower, to ripen during this day, say again these words, 'This is my body.'" In this way, Father Pierre was seeing the earth itself as an expression of the body of Christ. Indeed, he saw the whole universe as Christ's body. Happy to say that the Roman Catholic Church has changed over the years, and the past two popes, both Benedict and now Francis, have embraced most of Father Pierre Teilhard de Chardin's teachings. In his evolutionary theology, he saw the development of the world, and he imaged it this way, as having sort of three spheres. There's a sphere that he called the geosphere, the geological world, the rocks and the hard earth geology. Then around that, he saw a biosphere, the biological world, the world of plants and animals, trees, human beings, since we are, of course, of the earth ourselves. We are earth creatures. That's something that the Bible affirms. And then he imagined a third sphere around the geosphere and the biosphere, which he called the noosphere, from the Greek word nous, which means mind. So there's geology, there's the biological world, and then there's the noosphere, mind, world, or we can think of it really as consciousness, a shared consciousness around the globe, a sphere of conscious awareness. And I don't know about you, I tend to believe that many animals, most animals, share in this conscious awareness, but for our purposes this evening, we think of it more in terms of human awareness. For Teilhard, the next part of evolution would take place within the noosphere, within this third sphere, and it was here that he located the work of Christ. He saw the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as initiating a new force of love within the consciousness of the planet. And within this, he saw the whole world being Christicized, becoming like Christ. Not in the sense of the superiority of Christian religion over all other religions, but more in the sense of the teaching, spirit, and life of Jesus the Christ beginning to transform all consciousness around the world, leading the world to become a more just and peaceful place. So his evolutionary theology leads to a particular kind of spirituality. And that sees the spiritual journey, the journey that each one of us on, not so much as a path of ascent, that we are climbing up to meet God, as much as it is spirituality is being open to receive the flow of God which comes to us. God comes to us, and God's life becomes incarnate, informed in our lives, and our job is to be receivers, open to this grace of God which flows to us. And this is, of course, where the celebration of St. Mary links in today, because the story of her being chosen by God to be the mother of Jesus is an evolutionary leap forward in the development of what Teilhard called the noosphere, the third dimension of the Earth's reality, where awareness of God's presence permeates and transforms our consciousness. God in Christ comes into the world through a woman. Her story, and especially her song, reveals what it is that the power of God seeks to express in the world. In other words, if God is coming to us and God wants to make a home within us so that we can be agents of what it is that God wants for the world, what is that? What is it that God wants from us? And according to her song, which we call the Magnificat, we sang as the gradual hymn just now, the power of God's agenda is to make this world a place where all human beings are clothed with the dignity of the children of God. Her song imagines nothing short of a revolutionary reordering of society. Listen again to just a couple of the verses. God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. God has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. This is a radical re-leveling of the way that society is structured. And oh, what good news this is for people in our time, here in Vancouver, where the inequities between the very rich and the very poor are simply growing. And that's not just in Vancouver. Push that out globally. The numbers of the wealthy, the numbers of the poor are disproportionate, wildly disproportionate. Too much wealth held by a few, while so many live with a lack. What Mary's song imagines is a leveling out of all of that, making an equal place for everybody at the table. This is God's dream for the earth, coming to us through the noosphere. It's the same God who dreamed this centuries before the Blessed Virgin Mary sang her song in Isaiah's prophecy, when Isaiah sings, and listen to this in terms of the leveling out, the making an equal place. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The uneven ground will become level, rough places a plain. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. This is the vision of Paul, who wants us to understand that we're all God's children by adoption and grace. In other words, we all have a part to play in God's coming into form in the world. Our spiritual work is to be part of this evolutionary movement of God in the world. In Teilhard's words, each of us is our own little microcosm through which the incarnation is wrought independently. Christ becomes real in and through our lives. And to assist us as we grasp the importance of this kind of spirituality, there's no better exemplar than the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Theotokos, the one who gave God birth. Now, even the most casual observer of Western European art is astounded with how many depictions there are of the Blessed Virgin Mary. In our recent travels, particularly in Italy and France, a little refrain began to repeat in my mind: for every Christ, a Mary. Actually, it really seemed a few times like, for every Christ, 10 Marys. Ubiquitous throughout Christian art, which I find quite wonderful. Her images everywhere. You see in these images Mary as the young woman astonished with the announcement by the angel that she was to be the Christ bearer. You see her, of course, in the scenes of the Nativity, of Jesus' birth. And then you see her again at the cross, especially in the sculptures of the Pietà, the mother cradling the body of her crucified son. She brings him to birth. She holds him in death. And by tradition, she continues to follow him in his resurrected life. Known in many parts of the church, Mary is as the first disciple. God comes to us not only in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, but also through his mother, Blessed Mary, who first sings the song that Christ's life and gospel will proclaim in word and in action. Now, you'll be interested to know that there is substantial agreement between Anglicans and Roman Catholics on the importance of Mary in the life of the Church. A statement by the Anglican Roman Catholic Commission issued in Seattle just a few years ago celebrates our shared understanding of her role and importance. In one beautiful section, the authors of the statement comment, "Issues of justice for women and the empowerment of the oppressed have arisen from daily reflection on Mary's remarkable song. Inspired by her words, communities of women and men in various cultures have committed themselves to work with the poor and the excluded. Only when joy is joined with justice and peace do we rightly share in the economy of hope and grace which Mary proclaims and embodies." In Nazareth, in Israel, Palestine, at the site where it is said that the angel appeared to Mary and told her that she was to conceive and bear a son, you find the Basilica of the Annunciation. It's a large church, several levels. In the upper church, very large space, the walls are filled with mosaics. There's 43 of them. They are, Lisa, 20 feet tall, about 5 or 6 feet wide. They're enormous mosaics. 43 of them, each from a different country or region in the world. And each depicts this scene of Mary and the angel using images from a myriad of world cultures: European, African, American, Asian. Standing there, it's just a remarkable panorama of how Mary's story has influenced culture after culture. It's a powerful sign to me of Teilhard's noosphere, a spiritual consciousness that encircles the geosphere and the biosphere and finds its way into your heart and mind here this evening. Because whenever you long for things to be better in the world, whenever your heart is moved with compassion for another, whenever you're made angry because of injustice or cruelty, whenever the inequities of the world and toward this planet so trouble you that you're led to acts of peaceful resistance, then your life has been touched by the same angel that announced to Mary that she was to bring Christ to birth in the world. These are holy impulses deep within our beings, coming from no less than the true and living God. For so are we all, as Father Matthew Wright puts it. Each of our lives is potentially a deepening of the disclosure and a completing of the incarnation of God. We serve and become this disclosure through the evolutionary energies of love. In her beautiful poem, The Annunciation, Denise Levertov asks this question: aren't there annunciations of one sort or another in most lives? Where in your life tonight do you perceive the gentle call of God to say yes to God's dream for the world? What promptings are moving in you today to be a bearer of the incarnation of God? As we meditate on St. Mary this evening, let us open our hearts to be inspired by her example and seek to be God's agent of the evolutionary energies of justice and love. And once again, perhaps, we will discover fire.